China's exports surge, and why are there so few women at the top of central banks? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunis. Good morning. As uncertainty surrounding a possible global trade war continues, new figures show that China's trade surplus with the US narrowed last month. It comes as China recorded a 44% jump in monthly exports for February year on year, as Freya Beamish at Pantheon Macroeconomics explains.
On the face of it, it seems like it's sort of warping due to the timing of Chinese New Year. Now, it's very difficult to pull these numbers apart and get down to just exactly how much of an increase that has generated. But we can see that in 2015, when the timing of Chinese New Year between January and February was similar to that of this year and last year, there was also a jump in export growth in February then. The other kind of evidence that this is more to do with holiday effects is that exports to all countries jumped month on month. And that seems a little bit odd. I'm really expecting this to reverse.
China's trade surplus with the US narrowed in February. But overall, the trade deficit is still enormous. We know it's around $375 billion. So the trade war we keep hearing about is really going to hurt American consumers, isn't it?
The steel tariffs will just make American consumers' cars more expensive. It doesn't add up from a classical economic theory perspective.
President Donald Trump tweeted that China had been asked to cut the trade imbalance by $1 billion this year. Who's asking China to do that? And does China respond to a request like that?
I don't think China really responds to requests like that. In China, they've recognised import tariffs are harming their own consumers, and therefore they actually cut import tariffs for certain limited consumer goods in December, and it was promised that that would be the first of several rounds of cuts in import tariffs. So we do also have to remember that the Chinese have a strong weapon in their arsenal, which is that the renminbi is still overvalued. So all the Chinese really have to do in retaliation is to allow the currency to depreciate by allowing greater capital outflows out of China.
Freya Beamish. 1 year after America's withdrawal from the global trade pact, TPP, 11 remaining countries today sign a new deal. Suzanne Spears is an international law expert at Volterra Fieta.
We do see that trade does, in fact, increase GDP in the economies in question. And there have been a number of studies that were showing that this trade agreement alone will boost trade and investment very dramatically, such that at least about a 1% increase in GDP over the next few years for the countries involved. Now, on the other hand, quite clearly, there are downsides both to globalization writ large as well as to a trade agreement like this. And the important feature is that this trade agreement does do something to try to address some of those downsides. It has labor standards and environmental standards, and it could be constituted as something that is the new generation of global free trade agreements. But as you know, these trade agreements have become sort of the symbolism of globalization and of the dangers of our economic system today. And it really is important that there are voices that counter that narrative and ensure that they represent the other side.
Suzanne Spears. Let's do the numbers. Keeping with trade, global markets are higher after the White House hinted Canada and Mexico could be exempt from new import tariffs. London's FTSE 100 is up ahead of the ECB's policy decision today. Investors will look for clues about how the central bank's bond buying program will continue this fall. Research marking International Women's Day shows that just 6% of the world's central banks are led by women. Here's economist Danai Kiriakopoulou from the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum, which did the research.
The results show a pretty damning picture, as you said. There are very few women at the top in central banks globally. Out of 173 institutions that we look at, only 11 are headed by women governors.
Why do you think it matters that women aren't well represented in these areas?
It's not just about women, it's about having that balance in opinion between men and women and the different perspectives that they bring to the table. That diversity is important about the decisions they make, it's about the different attitudes to risk that they bring. It's also very much about highlighting role models so that younger women can be inspired and see that successful careers in those fields are possible.
You mentioned the approach to risk. How is women's approach to risk different to that of men?
women are considered to be more risk averse, men are considered to be more risk taking. When you're a financial regulator, you want to have a balance. You don't want to have too risky a committee that will then may lead to bubbles or asset crisis, but you also don't want to have too risk averse a committee because then the market is not moving. You want to have that diversity and that balance, and that's why we look at this.
What do you think is the solution then? Is it about quotas? Is that the answer?
Quotas can be an extreme solution that may help in the short term. Aspirational targets are more appropriate in the case of central banks, sovereign funds and public pension funds. And it's also very important to have those so-called sunset clauses so that when the right balance or the right percent has been achieved, you then no longer need those kind of policies in place.
Well, Jorgovanka Tabaković is Serbia's central bank governor. She says she's stabilized the country's currency and lowered inflation from 12%.
I am for 6 years not only woman governor, I am successful governor. And my experience maybe is good for small girls, for graduate, for students. Women, they have clear mind. They are stubborn in their nature. They want to fight like for their child. They fight for their results.
And finally, the world's richest self-made woman founded a company to make glass coverings for laptops and smartphones. She hails from China, which dominates the list of self-made female billionaires, says publisher Who Run. In London, I'm Vivian Nunes with Marketplace Morning Report for the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.